Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Is the owner of a business concern in Buena Park, California, Fraser Foods. It is a grocery store. He has fired an employee and has been countersued by the California Labor Board for wrongful termination. And I know you're at work right now, Mr. Green. I thank you for taking time for talking with us. This news story just hit the news wires. You fired this employee for what?
Because I was viciously verbally assaulted in my own store, in a business that I put together myself, and I worked very hard, Mr. Hendry, to maintain. I was verbally, viciously, and profanely assaulted. This woman took time out of the workday to discuss personal business with me. I never do that. I don't know of any business owner that would.
So, excuse me.
Gesundheit.
Thank you.
These winds are kicking up a lot of allergies,
They absolutely are. Thank you, sir. So this woman assaulted you verbally. You do not allow personal conversation.
No, I do not.
All right. Now, she says that she's declined to come on our program, this Miss Camille Tipton, on the advice of her attorney, and you have, and I appreciate that.
That is fine. I've got nothing to hide.
Tell us what happened.
Well, what happened, sir, is a woman attacking me, a woman who's worked for me for 15 years, and then attacking me. I don't know whether you know what that's like, but it can undermine you. It can shake you up.
Take me chronologically.
We had been open for about a half an hour.
All right, we're back live. We had a little power supply problem. So you heard if you listened to the beginning of the program, you heard a lot of music. You didn't hear me, and I was talking, but there was nothing coming out. I was talking, but there was nothing going out over the ears. And that's often the case. I talk there and anybody listen, nobody hears me. But we'll just keep on talking. By the way, officials in Eagle County paid $800,000 in damages in 95 to black and Latino motorists stopped on Interstate 70 because what? They were racially profiling in Eagle County. Nice going, guys. That's all it takes. You see, here's the problem. You get these goober cops, and forgive me, but there's goobers everywhere. We got goober cops in L.A., so don't worry about it. This has got nothing to do with the size of a town. I lived in Miami, Fort Lauderdale. I lived in Atlanta. I lived in the Northeast, the Northwest. You got some of the most redneck cats in the biggest cities. But you get some of these Barney Fifes down there in Eagle County. They're racially profiling these drivers, and you mark my words, it's already started. The Kobe Bryant case is now officially about race. It's now officially about race, and it doesn't make any difference. And I explained this the other day. I said, because of the experience of African-American citizens in this country, it's entirely believable if you're a black person that you could get set up for rape when you didn't do it, because it's happened hundreds of thousands of times. Maybe not anymore, maybe not as much, maybe we've changed, maybe we're an evolved society, but it's happened hundreds of thousands of billions, gazillions of times, just enough for anybody who is African-American to say, you got charged with what? With rape. Oh, yeah, sure. Well, that's... Yeah, okay, all right. Yeah, go ahead. Just go ahead and tie me to that tree now, man. What are you going to put me on trial? What's that, to assuage your guilty conscience? Just hang me from the tree. Now, that's the way it was. Today, we like to think that maybe we're a little more civilized, and facts are facts. And we'll find out what the facts are. Because here's a news flash, and this is going to come as a huge shock. This is going to bowl a few people over. Even if you're black, it's still possible you rape somebody. See what I'm saying? Even if you're black, it's still possible that you murdered somebody. Yes, yes, many people have been set up by crooked cops. And police officers who have, you know, the police, you got to understand, are a fairly one, two, or three-dimensional group of guys. They've got to be four, five, six-dimensional now. They have to understand that we are living in a different time and a different place. And it's not just as simple as pulling over a black guy and saying, well, you're black, so you must be a smack mule. You must be running drugs through here. You have to have reasonable suspicion. That's what the law says. And is being a certain color reasonable suspicion? And many people out there right now with their smart-ass thoughts are going, yes. A lot of folks are saying, you black, you bet it is. Okay, well, if you're white, then it's reasonable suspicion that you raped your daughter. So you better get next to that one too, pal. If you think it's reasonable suspicion that a black guy runs drugs and murders, then it's reasonable suspicion that any male between, say, the ages of 35 and 50 is molesting his daughter. So the next time you want to profile somebody, the next time you want to get a little smart-ass on that one, suck on that. Why don't we just start kicking down the doors of every white guy's house and say, okay, how many times you've had sex with your daughter? What are you talking about? You're white. 35, 50. Fit the profile, pal. In any event, the Kobe Bryant case will be about race. It's going to be turned into that. It's already been turned into that by, once again, our pals on sports radio. I love listening to those guys drop the ball on this story left and right. Not that I ever thought they were going to carry the ball. Not that I ever thought sports radio was actually going to carry the ball on this story. But it's just fun to listen to those guys explode, man. I mean, just fall apart. And by the way, Steve Hartman, please, in the name of God, get back from vacation or whatever it is you're doing, man. You leave your show into the hands of those amateurs, and you deserve everything you get. Get back, Steve. I love listening to you, man. I don't know who those jocks are. They stick in there, but, man, they are embarrassing your radio show. Get back in. Get back to town. Where are you? You're at the Hall of Fame game? The Hall of Fame game in Canton. There's another one that we can't wait for, huh? So what happens is this. You got these goobers out there in Eagle County. They profiled drivers. For instance, a lady who was driving through in 1989, a woman by the name of Janita Whitfield, she was with her sister. Her sister's in the United States Navy. They had their children with them. She was told she failed to signal properly before changing lanes. Did the cop write her a ticket? No. He then wanted to search her car, which naturally happens every time you're pulled over for failure to, you know, signal. You get your car searched. You get your car tossed big time while you stand out there watching them tear everything out of the trunk, right? Of course. She didn't want a hassle, so that was that. And anyway, they got sued, and they had to pay out $800,000. You don't think that's going to be brought up in this case? Then, friend, I got a piece of beach property to sell you, and it's in Vietnam. That's going to be brought. Oh my God! Now these lawyers, this Haddon and Mackey, I try to find out who hired them. Now you may ask yourself, well, what does that mean? I don't know who hired them. Who hired them? Oh, well, Kobe hired him. What, are you going to tell me that Kobe Bryant has got the name of every heavyweight attorney in Denver, and he picked up the phone, he said, yeah, give me Hatton and McKay, because I think, give me a break. Who hired these people? Maybe his agent did. Who made the contact on the attorneys for Bryant? That's what I want to know. Was it Kobe? Was it his agent? Or was it the Lakers? And I'm going to tell you, you better hope and pray it wasn't the Lakers. You better pray it wasn't the Lakers. If I find out it was the Lakers, I'm just going to hold my breath. All right, anyway, speaking of sports radio, here's the thing. You got the biggest story in sports that's happened in years. If you're doing a sports talk show, really, what is that about? Well, what that's about is not only the quality of the game, it's the quality of the individuals that play the game, it's the story behind the story, all that stuff that they like to say that it's about, when in point of fact it really isn't with those guys, unless it's a story about some guy that was dribbling a ball on a dirt court somewhere out in the middle of Nebraska, and, you know, he got his first pair of sneakers from a Salvation Army, and then he made his way up to the ladder. We know that story. But really what the story is it's the good and the bad news. And I mean the good and the bad news. And there ain't a whole lot of good news, there's a whole lot of bad news. And what are these guys talking about right now on sports radio? On the sports talk shows, what are they talking about? What they've been on for about 4 days, and somebody explain this to me, why this is, I'm supposed to care. They've been on the endorsement thing. How much bread's he going to lose? How much is he going to lose with a shoe contract? How much is he going to lose if with the jockstrap contract? How much is he going to lose with the panty girdle contract? Just exactly how much bread is he you know, it's all about Kobe and how much bread this cat's losing. Have you guys thought for just 5 seconds that a woman might have been raped? Does that even come across your mind at all? Does that just sort of pass through the windmills of your mind at all? Does it just sort of sail from one ear through the vacant space in your skull out the other ear at all? Or you guys are that,
let me tell you what it's about. It's about the endorsements. It's a big, big business. See, sports is a big business. And, you know,
oh, thanks a lot, Coach.
You okay?
All right, we'll be right back here on Sports Talk. We got the coach here. We got the manager here. We got the general manager here. We got Coach Joe and Manager Eddie and general manager and Bat Boy Billy. Why don't they have a cat on Sports Talk Radio named Bat Boy Billy there? Everybody's the coach. Everybody's the Hatsaw and the Mad Dog. Just one cat ought to be the Bat Boy. I'll do it. They give me a gig on a sports show. You know, they got a new sports station down in San Diego. Boy, do you guys need help down there. I mean, and I ain't talking about radio either. I mean the whole town. But you cats could really use me on the air down there in that sports station. Let me tell you what, you know, that I don't have any imagination down there anyway. One of the key investigators in the Kobe Bryant rape case was also a key figure when the Eagle County Sheriff's Office was successfully sued for racial profiling. The revelation that one of the lead investigators in the case was also a key figure in a racial profiling case could provide the defense with an argument that the investigation of Bryant, a prominent black athlete, was carried out unfairly, as the defense has argued. The Eagle County Sheriff's Office was sued in 1995, blah, 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 blah. 400 claims of racial profiling, 800 G's. Who's the person? Who's the lead person? It's on the offensive team? Okay, well, you got to circle it for me, man. I can't have a conversation with you, you know, when they only hear me and not you. All right, we'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget our website, www.philhenryshow.com. We're also going to have a list coming, starting next week, a list of the athletes that I don't want to go so far as to say they don't want to come on the air with me because they're afraid of me. They probably never even heard of me. We'll just put up a list of athletes who've never heard of me and therefore won't let me interview them. But we'll make it sound like they're scared of me. How about that? On the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know the name Willie McGinnis? I think it's Willie McGinnis. He's a linebacker with the New England Patriots. Willie McGinnis was involved in a sex assault case at the University of Southern California in 1994. And I don't know why I'm bringing this up, except that I just stumbled across it while I was doing a little research today, because there's another athlete, a college football player, who's gotten into some nefarious activity. And I was just sort of looking into it. I said, Willie McGinnis. Oh, yeah. There was three college players accused of sexual battery, of holding a woman against her will and in a dorm room. And I read this story, and I said, well, you know, I can read the players are saying that she came on to them. It was a counseling. It was a camp. Now, understand what the environment was. It was a camp for academically underachieving football players to help them pass their grades. So, in other words, it was a camp for morons, football players that are morons, and the students would volunteer. Some would volunteer. Some were graduate students, etc., who would help the students in this camp. And this woman testified, she had to testify, basically defend herself. She didn't grab anybody. She didn't entice anyone sexually. They accused her of all of this. They said that that she came on to them. She said, I might have patted Mr. McGinnis' arm or back after a test, but never in a sexual manner. The players said that, well, you know, it's her word against ours. Eventually, when this whole thing got done with, these guys were acquitted in the assault case. They were found not guilty of misdemeanor charges that they had dragged a female graduate student into a dormitory room and sexually assaulted her. But I think there was most of the juries interviewed afterwards said they had not believed the woman's account of the events of July 20th. They said there were no corroboration from other witnesses. She was a peer counselor in a remedial summer program designed for incoming freshmen. She alleged she was dragged into one of the players' rooms and pinned to a bed. She alleged that she was held for almost half an hour, even though a male counselor walked into the room at one point. The players denied they forced her into the room and sexually molested her. And I read this story, and I realized these guys were acquitted. And I want to tell you something. I don't believe them. Now, that's just my gut feeling. And you can call me a racist, or you can call me stupid, or you can call me any of the other stupid things that stupid people call other stupid people, right? But I put two and two together with the passage of 12 years of time. Three highly touted football players. Very highly touted. When they walked out of court, guess who was there to greet them? The defensive coordinator of the football team, to give them a big hug. Now, Mike McGee, who is the athletic director, said, if I find out you guys weren't being truthful with the police, I'm going to suspend you. Well, let me tell you what, mother, mind your skirts. You're going to suspend me? That means I'm going to have to stay home while someone brings me my books and my food and my whatever the hell else you got to bring me? One woman, three guys, and an athletic program, and a head coach, and SC football fans, which are some of the most unbelievable people in the world. You got to see an SC football fan to believe it. You got to sit down in a restaurant, say in Newport Beach, California, with a table full of them off to the left or off to the right, like I did one afternoon, and it's stunning. Your jaw will hit the floor listening to these people, looking at them, listening to them, and just having to breathe the same air. A room full of SC alumni. And this woman by herself, they said she came onto them. They said that she wanted to go into the room. She wanted to have sex. That's right. She wanted to have sex with three men. She's a camp counselor, a graduate student, camp counselor, working with underachieving, idiot, moron college football players. Guys that can barely say C spot run. Guys that can't spell cat, even if you spotted them the C. Guys that literally, they can't read a newspaper. They don't even know what the speedometer means on that brand new BMW that the coach bought them. Oh, I'm sorry. Here's Derek. Derek?
How you doing?
Good, Derek.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on your Kobe Bryant. You're the first person that I've heard, I'm all the way out in Detroit, he's actually said this isn't about endorsements or his reputation or, you know.
Are you hearing that in Detroit? Yeah, you hearing that on the sports talk in Detroit? Like, oh, what's he going to do without all that bread?
That's all that I hear every single day is, you know, it's going to hurt his endorsements, it's going to hurt his reputation. A woman may have gotten raped.
A woman may have been, yeah. Can we just sort of, I mean, let's not say he's guilty, but let's quit talking about this guy as if it's in terms of what he's got to lose.
Exactly.
Let's, you know, and maybe somewhere along the line we can find our humanity, even these dumbbells that are working in sports talk, and find out where the real story lies. The real story is in the possibility a crime was committed, and a guy of great prominence has been charged with something very serious. And as far as his endorsements go, I mean, I'm sorry if he's going to lose the Orville Redenbacher account or whatever the hell he's got going on, you know, but that's the life. Thanks very much, sir. I got to take a break. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. There's a cat calling in from Detroit on the XM, too. How about that, huh? I don't even know what XM stands for, but I hear it's pretty good. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
One of the reasons why we weren't on the air at the top of the hour is I forgot to turn my microphone on. 1-800-449-8686. Also, our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com. And you might want to write and tell us how you're going to mourn all the money that Kobe's losing in endorsements and what you might be able to do for him, like extra jobs, second jobs, maybe a little take in some late-night cleaning or ironing to help offset the expense to the Bryant family at the endorsements that he's going to lose and all that there. Whatever. In other news, Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to go on the Jay Leno show and announce, just before he goes on the Jay Leno show, he's going to announce whether he's going to be governor of California. Just how long have you and Mr. Leno been sleeping together, Mr. Schwarzenegger? And those pumps that you bought, Jay, just look great. Jesus! What do? I start calling Leno Mrs. Schwarzenegger?
You know, it's great of you to come on here and...
Yeah, I like him young and tender.
Jeez! This cat's going to come out and say whether he's going to run for governor, which, please, dear God, I'll return to the Catholic Church if he just says, nine. And then he's going to go on the Jay Leno show, cross his legs, put his arm on the back of that sofa, laugh uproariously at Jay's rejoinders, and it'll just be one of those Marvy middle American moments. So anyway, going on the Jay Schwarzenegger, I mean the... Jay Leno show. Is it going to be next Wednesday? This is the circus that American... Hey, I got... Whatever sells politics. The problem is what has proven to be the case. When people say, oh, now don't put down television, Phil, because look at how it exposes the political process to so many people. It makes it popular. They go out and vote. Yeah, they go out and vote in the big event things, the big governor things and the big president things. You know, there is such a thing as a city council and a PTA board and all that crap that people couldn't care less about. They don't even know what PTA stands for. Do you? I don't. If anybody does, would you please call us? There's a city council. There's all kinds of stuff. There's assembly. There's disassembly. There's the I vote all the time. But nobody votes in that stuff. Because why? Oh, it's dull. You walk in and there's some old lady. God bless you, dear old ladies that hang out there in the voting booth and you get made fun of. And people go, the women's club is sponsoring it. You go in and the poor people that actually support this country... Even you right-wingers that went out and voted for Simon, I guess I got to, clap you on the back for that. At least getting up off the ever-widening can and going out and look for your lost child. Oh, you mean that was yesterday's show? Sorry. We will have a flashback on that one. So Schwarzenegger is going to go on, in a made-for-TV political moment straight from Hollywood, actor Arnold Schwarzenegger plans to announce whether he'll run for governor of California moments before appearing on Jay Leno's late-night NBC show next week. Having met in prison, Mr. Leno used to scrub him. Although the former Mr. Universe has not made up his mind whether to run in the October 7th recall ballot, he's leaning against challenging a Democratic Governor Gray Davis because of family considerations. In other words, his sphincter's tightening up on him a little bit. That's what that means. He's getting a little nervous, little beads of sweat forming there on his Aryan brow. Arnold has not made a final decision, but nothing's changed about his leaning against running. The prospect of a Schwarzenegger camp, and look at the people tune in for this one. They'll have a 90 billion share. And Jay will benefit. No wonder Letterman gets his ass kicked left, right, and always, because Leno is doing something. I don't know. It might have to do with oiling up. It may be that he's just good friends. It may be that he's oiling up, and it may be that he's just good friends. Which is it? Give us a call. Tell us what you think. Under one possible scenario that would leave the door open for a future Schwarzenegger bid, oh, get out of here. So they're going to go watch next Wednesday night a 90 share as Jay kisses Arnold's ass up one side and down the next. One cheek, then the other, just kind of alternating cheeks.
We'll be back when I kiss the next cheek next break, right after this. All right, okay, go ahead. We have a black man leading the band. All right.
Remember when that show went on the air, that the cat that led his band, that black guy? It was like he was like didn't even want to be on the stage with Leno. You remember that? You remember how embarrassed he was to be on the same stage with that guy? Look at, with all due respect, Mr. Leno, you're a successful man, and I shouldn't say this, but you ain't funny. But you're a nice guy, I hear, and you ride that motorcycle and stuff. Was it Branford Marcellus? I don't know, but he always looked very uncomfortable.
So, Branford, any pork chop jokes I can do here?
And he's like, Jesus, God, why did I take this gig? I don't know, it's just the whole thing, So next week, Arnold Schwarzenegger, oh my God, will we, just waiting around for bated breath. Why don't you do us all a big favor, Arnold? Go back to the gym. Go back to Venice Beach, pump some iron. You know, some guys, you know, the thin, wafer-thin guys with the kind of the tight shorts will be staring at you going, and you go, no, 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 fellas, no, no, how much? So that's what we're doing here in California, and it just never ends. It's just the comedy of errors never, ever ends. And remember, that runoff election's coming up in October, and that's when they throw Gray Davis out, all our problems are solved. You know, all our problems may be solved, maybe not. You're going to have to get out and vote in this thing, and that's a whole other thing. But guess who is running? Guess who has announced, and guess who I'll vote for in a New York minute? Larry Flint. You think I'm kidding? Larry Flint has announced he wants to run, and he wants to bail the state out by legalizing casino gambling, and I think that it's time California come off of its high horse and start using some of that gambling jack. Because you know what? This may be just all that wonderful golden state, well, all the sexy movie stars, but you know, people ain't exactly pouring out here like they used to. And you want to know why? Because the whole thing's just, you know, that old Tinseltown thing's wearing off. Give them a reason to come out here. Build a big paddle boat out there on the Colorado River. Bring all the white trash to California. Why go to Mississippi when you can come to California? Come on, Grandma. Come out here and spend your money here. You want to get... What are you going to do? You going to take the overnight Greyhound to Las Vegas? You know, a bunch of you guys pour out in sneakers. You hit the nickel slots. You just tear into that thing for the million-dollar jackpot while some cat with the beard and the, you know, big stack of ashes in an ashtray has been waiting all night to hit that thing. And in comes Grandma from Barstow. Oh, sweet Jesus. Look at... Well, you dirty old... That happened to me. Oh, that happened to me. I'd been working a machine all night. I got off this thing. I go over to get a drink. I turn around. There's some woman, very sweet-looking lady with the hair just about the color of the deep blue sea. And she just, bing, 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 bing. And I wanted to go over there, and it was like a scene out of No Way to Treat a Lady with Rod Steiger. Remember that when he was strangling the woman going, don't scream. So Larry Flint's going to run. And if you look at it honest to God, which nobody wants to do, people think Larry Flint's more of a joke than Arnold Schwarzenegger. Why? Why would they think that Flint is any less viable as a candidate than Schwarzenegger? I'll tell you why. Because Larry Flint used to publish a magazine with naked women in it. But the fact is, Larry Flint has prosecuted, he's had attorneys for him prosecute some serious First Amendment cases, taken them to the Supreme Court. The man's been involved in litigation in two or three different states. The guy has been politically active way longer than Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, when Arnold Schwarzenegger was with that Conan the Barbarian thing and doing that gay porn on the side, Larry was out... I'm pretty sure that was Arnold in the movie that I saw. Oh, I'm sorry, that was Stallone. You're right. But I still think that Flint is my man. If you want to vote for Schwarzenegger, why not vote for Flint? Oh, stop it, Henry. Let's get serious. You with the shtick. You know, you bore me to death. Well, I'm serious, man. We got to vote for Schwarzenegger. Why? Why? Because Reardon endorses him. Reardon's endorsing him because he thinks that Arnold Schwarzenegger's a pretty good horse to run, okay? Schwarzenegger hasn't got 5 cents worth of original ideas. He's a guy that they can stick in there and then they can just do his bidding. The people are gonna vote for him because they think it's sexy to have that meathead up there. Well, they're all gonna do what they're gonna do. The only reason to vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger is that, unlike Larry Flint, he doesn't need a bib when he eats. All right, let's go to Nick. Hey, Nick.
Yo, what's going on, Phil?
How you doing?
I'm doing well today. How are you?
Good, sir.
Good. I was calling in regards, first of all, to that PTA question.
Yeah?
That would stand for the Parent Teacher Association.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I didn't know that. Next time there's an election, I'll be sure to get in on that one.
Oh, definitely. Also,
I knew it was Parent Teacher. Do you really think I'm that much of a chowderhead? I was
going to
say meathead, but that's Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's reserved for him. No, I know what PTO is, too. Parent teacher something.
Orifice,
exactly.
A while back you were talking about there was a guy in New York, an aspiring police officer, that was saying all the T2, T3 movies were going to be helping out the officers in dodging bullets, sidestepping bullets.
Serious?
As long as we get Arnold in there, we'll be able to keep our task force alive.
Oh, you're right. That was a bit that we, yeah, exactly. All right, pal, thanks. Bye-bye. He probably had more to say, but... Coming up at the Phil Henry Show today, we're going to be talking with Brad Rifkin, who is a gym owner of 23 years, and he's written a very interesting book. It's called, what is it called? The Things I've Seen. And the book is about the years he's been watching people in his gym. He feels that, frankly, most people cannot lose weight, most people cannot get in shape, and that they're wasting their money. So it'll be interesting to hear from him. We're also going to be talking to another guest whose name escapes me at the moment. Oh, Stephen Bozell will be with us, the construction contractor, who was in the very same spot Kobe Bryant is in right now 17 years ago when he was in college, and we'll find out about that. When we come back and more here on The Phil Henry Show, our number 1-800-449-8686. Bye.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Okay, we got our R.C. Collins letter of the day. This is for a free CD, a free world-famous Best of the Phil Henry Show 2002 CD. It's a double CD set. If you can be the best letter, the best advice for R.C., should he go to Baghdad and try to bring Hussein's head on his bayonet, or should he go up north to San Francisco and work in the bottling plant for Father? This letter comes from D. Kiger. Cadet Collins, so your conundrum is bottling or Baghdad? Well, from listening to your girlish, weak-ass voice on the radio, now I too have a conundrum of sorts to solve. One, I am not sure if your berries have yet to fall past your twig. Two, some of your fellow cadets have intimately introduced you to many bottles of the past and the present. Which is it? Don't be ashamed, R.C. I'm sure they told you it's traditional hazing, and since you've won the Medal of Honor, you clearly understood that the honorable thing to do was follow orders from your superiors. Maybe Father is to blame. Anybody get that bottle reference, by the way? Only Chris did. But then when I said he saw hazing, I know what he means. Sadly, R.C., see, I'm smart, like stupid, like people say. Sadly, R.C., this leaves you with one option, Baghdad. Now, it's do or die, and you must use the skills you have learned from your simulated training in Operation Islamic Pole. If Saddam is still alive, may God have pity on him. If he crosses your path, he has no chance against the likes of R.C. Collins. Clearly, your pint-sized, pointy, patriotic pole will pierce his head. I sleep well knowing R.C. Collins will bend over backwards and forwards to help the war effort. Best of luck, buddy. D. Kiger. Whatever. That's the best one we had today, huh? Okay, well, ain't gonna win, but nice try. Now, I'm very grateful you sent the letter, sir. I'm just,
I'm just breaking your things, you know? Hey!
1-800-449-8686. Our souvenir shop at the Phil Henry website is quite a place to visit, peruse, browse, or buy. If you have a Phil Henry fan in your family, well, that's great. No, go to the souvenir shop, philhenryshow.com. That's PHILHENDRIEshow.com. You can pick up a Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mug or jacket or baseball cap, Ted's of Beverly Hills gear in the Ted's of Beverly Hills store. There's a bowling shirt. There is a apron. There's shot glasses. We've even got a Western Estates Homeowners Association tote bag. And we have our Phil Henry gear as well. Phil Henry shot glasses. These are brand spanking new. And we have our Phil Henry t-shirts and hats. Whatever you want. Go to our souvenir shop at www.philhenryshow.com, and while you're there, you can pick up our Best Of CD. The Best Of CD goes to, the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. Saddam Hussein's daughter apparently gave an interview, Raghed Hussein. I swear to God, that's her name. I swear to God, that's her name. Raghed Hussein was talking to Al Ass, one of those news agencies. Al's Ass, is, I think, is the name of it. You know, one of those news-gathering agencies they got in the Middle East. And she said that her dad's a great guy. He's a sweetheart, and he never abused her, never beat her up. He's never robbed a liquor store in his life. He never stuck up a gas station. He's a great man. And all these cats that say he's a bad guy, well, they're just lying sacks of crap. And on top of that, not only are they liars... But on top of that, they sold out their country. They're traitors, and that's the whole reason why they lost the war. That's what Raghed Hussein says in the recent edition of the Daily Arab, or, you know, pick it up at your newsstand. Now, never mind that Saddam killed her husband. Can you dig how good this guy is? Do you know, just seriously. See, nobody cares anymore. Nobody cares whether there's weapons of mass destruction. Nobody cares. Frankly, no one gives a crap whether we get Hussein or not. I think we'd like to get him. But I think that we have effectively neutralized, and I think we all are kind of comfortable that we've effectively neutralized the whole situation over there. And now we just want to get the guys back, right? Me, I'm a little different mindset. I'd like to hang around. I want to get the army base going there, get Hussein, hang him from a gas station. I'd like to see the hotels open up. I want to know what the opportunities are for resort golf. In other words, I hear that Iraq is going to be a fantastic place to be in about, oh, say, 50 years after they put a Sheraton in over there. By the way, Raghead and her sister Durag are now in Jordan. I swear, her name's Raghead Hussein and her sister's Durag Hussein. Now, if you think I'm kidding, then read it up in the newspaper. It says Durag and her sister Raghead and their mother Anna, they all went to Jordan in a pea green boat and they sat down with the Daily Arab asswipe and they gave a big interview about how Pops is a sweetheart and they got them all wrong. This guy, I'm telling you, the cat is unrelenting. No wonder the people over there are scared to death of him. And his own daughter, even though the guy had her husband killed, she's kissing his ass. This guy must be something else. I believe everything now. I believe he put them in acid baths, meat grinders, you name it. I believe he did it all because only a guy like that would have people so petrified that they're afraid to come out of their houses even now. And he's got his own daughter talking about what a great guy he is after he torched her own husband, after he took her husband and popped him and threw him off a building. I hope we find the guy. She's kissing his ass so she stays alive. And when he's dead, then maybe she'll say, you know what, my old man was a piece of crap. God, I hope we find that cat. I really do. Just for the fun of it, that's all. What if they find the one guy we're not thinking about? What if they get Bin Laden? Are we going to care? What if they got them both on the same day, huh? What if we had wings? What if rainwater was beer? Well, it ain't. Coming up, Steve Bozell, a construction contractor from Corona, California, who has an eerily similar tale to tell, a similar one to Kobe Bryant's. We'll find out what his experience was and what perhaps Kobe can expect. Coming up on The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Stephen Bozell joins me from Corona, California. Mr. Bozell, we're talking about the Kobe Bryant case. You went through something similar back in 1985, didn't you?
Yes, sir, I did.
And you told us before we went on the air you can relate to what Mr. Bryant's going through?
I can relate to it to a degree. I think that there are some areas that he's going through right now where actually it's maybe a little bit better for him. Than it is for me.
Can you tell me what happened and what happened to you? And you were on campus at a major university in the Southeast, correct?
That is correct.
And you don't want to tell us the name of the school?
I would rather not.
Tell us what happened.
Yes, sir. In 1985, I was attending a major university in the Southeast, and it was during a rush week that we were having for freshmen at the fraternity. We had a lot to drink.
And for people who are not familiar with Rush Week, what is that?
That's when we approach new freshmen to join the different fraternities.
On the campus?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you're having a Rush Week for all the new incoming freshmen?
That is correct. And we had a party at our fraternity house. We'd had a lot to drink. Young people who drink too much, especially young men, got together with another male student. We had been drinking throughout the night, this is the only time that I've ever done it. I'm married, and I have two children who I love very much. But I engaged in sex with the...
With this male student?
That is correct.
Was he, and he was an incoming freshman?
Yes, sir.
And you're not gay?
No, no, sir, I'm not.
How much had you been drinking?
We had been doing... we've been doing some Jägermeister and beer bongs, and it was pretty irresponsible.
You were doing Jägermeister and you called them beer bongs?
Beer bong, yes, sir.
Okay.
The next day, the campus police are at the fraternity house.
So you were arrested for rape, is that correct?
That's correct, and I can tell you it's the loneliest feeling in the world. One of the things I can relate to, Mr. Bryant, you don't know where to turn.
Now, you were accused of raping this male student?
Yes, sir, I was. And I have never engaged in anything like this.
Were you guilty?
Yes, sir, I will say now, yes, I was guilty of it, yes.
Okay.
I felt very ashamed, and...
What happened? What were you given prison?
I was spent 4 years at the Murfreesboro Correctional Institute.
And that's in Tennessee?
Yes, sir.
What was the crime?
It was for aggravated sexual battery.
Now, why have you called our show?
I wanted to say that I relate to Kobe and what he's going through. The thing that was disturbing me, and I said to my wife yesterday, how come he is getting a lot of media attention, and when I went through what I went through, I didn't get any. And here's what I think it is, and this is fairly tough for me to say, but I think it's because he's black.
I think you think Kobe Bryant is getting more attention in the rape case that he's involved in than you got in the rape case you were involved in because he's black?
Yes, I do. And I'm mindful of the fact that he is more famous than me. But, and this is a very big point, I was at that time, when I went to the school, I was a celebrity on campus. I was fairly well known. I had been a Yale leader on campus. I had been I was editor of the campus newspaper. I was on I was well known, and they knew me all over pretty good. And yet no one wanted to come and interview me. No one wanted to hear my side of the story. No one wanted to hear how everything happened to me.
But you said you were guilty of this crime.
I was guilty, but at least you could hear my side of the story and know how it was for me. That I forced myself on this guy, and I'm sorry that I did, but I had my reasons, and no one would interview me. Now, the media circus that's surrounding Kobe Bryant right now, yes, has to do with the fact that he's famous a little bit. But the overwhelming majority of interest in Kobe Bryant is on account of he's black.
And why would they be more interested in Kobe Bryant's story because he's black and not yours because you're white?
Because black folks have not had a fair shake, and I understand that. And I'd be the first one to admit to all of that. And so a lot of people think that because the black folks haven't had a fair shake, that to make it up to them, let's put them in the newspaper and put them on TV and everything and give them TV shows and all that. And that's fine. I don't mind that. But how come nobody wanted to talk to me when I was accused of rape?
But you were guilty.
But no one knew that at the time, but no one cared at all. And now, every time I see Kobe Bryant, people talking about him. Is he innocent? Is he not? It feels like I'm back on campus in 1985, and it feels like somebody's just taken a shovel and just continues to just hit me and over again with it.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This man, Stephen Bozell, admits that he raped another guy on campus at a school he attended in 1985. He admits this. And yet he did not get any kind of fame. He didn't get any kind of media attention, the same media attention that Kobe Bryant is getting. Is Kobe Bryant getting media attention because he's African-American? That's probably the big question. Is he getting all of this interest because he's black and people are trying to make it up to him? You understand, Mr. Bozell, that Mr. Bryant is accused of a very serious crime. How could you say that the media is trying to make it up to black people by giving a black guy a lot of notoriety when he's accused of rape?
Because they're saying all good stuff about him. They're saying how he didn't do it. They're saying how he's going to lose all of his endorsement money. All the stuff they're saying about him is good stuff. And everything they said about me after I raped that guy, which I'm sorry that I did, and I know it was wrong, but all they said about me was that I was just a pervert and they kept calling me a queer, which I'm not.
Can I ask you what compelled you? Can I ask you what compelled you to do that to another human being?
I had had a lot to drink, and he represented himself as someone who'd be willing to do that, and I hadn't. All the women were going with the other guys. We wound up with the only two guys left.
So, in other words, you and this other guy were the only two dudes left at the party. There were no other women?
All the women were taken, yeah. So I looked at him, and I said to him, okay, since we're the only two left, we might as well just do each other. And he goes, no way, no way, no way. And I'll tell you something also. I do a series of seminars for the youth counselors and for our youth camps on beer bongs and how they'll make you just lose your mind. And they will make you go crazy.
All right, so you had Jägermeister, you had beer bongs, you were very high. I don't want to get back to your attitude here, and you were not interviewed by the media at all.
No, sir.
So you went through the exact same thing that Kobe Bryant is going through, although you admit that you were guilty, and we don't know if Mr. Bryant's guilty.
No, but that doesn't make any difference. Why didn't the media interview me? Why didn't the media come around and talk to me and have me on TV and have me on the newspaper and interview me on the radio and everybody talking about it on the talk show? No one talked about me on the talk show. No one interviewed me on the radio. And I talked to my wife about it, and I said the whole thing. And she said it's because Kobe Bryant's real famous. I said, yeah, but also there's one more thing. He's black. And so they want to talk to him and make sure he's innocent. And I'm a white guy, and they want to make me guilty.
But again, you weren't.
No, that's right. I am guilty, or I was guilty, but still, they didn't know that. And I think racism is really what this is about, Mr. Henry, but I think it's reverse racism. I think it's really racism against white people, because Kobe Bryant gets to have all the good publicity, and I didn't get any when I was going down in school down in Tennessee. And so I think if anybody's going to look at the Kobe Bryant case, they're going to say, oh, look at all the media attention that he's getting on this, and everybody's saying that he maybe didn't do it. And everybody looked at me and said that I was a pervert and a sick, twisted bastard and all of this stuff that I heard and read. People put graffiti on the walls in the dorms, and nobody wanted to interview me on TV.
We're talking with... all right, Stephen, hold on for a second, okay?
Yes, sir.
We're talking with Stephen Bozell. He is a construction contractor in Corona, California. But some 17, 18 years ago, he was on campus at a college where he admits he sexually assaulted another student. He says leading up to the trial, there was no publicity, there were no media interviews, there was no one seemed to be interested from the media. He said that is very different from what's happening with Kobe Bryant, and he believes it's because of racism. He thinks that the media is more interested in Kobe because he's black and not interested in Mr. Bozell and his story because he is white. Do you think that's the case? I believe that Mr. Bozell wasn't interviewed by the media because he's not as famous a guy as Kobe Bryant, but he already acknowledges that. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Is Kobe Bryant getting a break from the media because he's black? And Mr. Bozell, was he not interviewed by the media because he was white? Or is it because he's not as famous? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Define prostitute.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm with Stephen Bozell. He is today at present a construction contractor in Corona, California. But in 1985, he attended a university in Tennessee where he was convicted of sexually assaulting another student, a male student. His name is being withheld for obvious reasons. Mr. Bozell, you don't mind that? Mr. Bozell, let's see, where is he? You there, sir?
Yes, sir.
That man's name is being withheld. You don't mind that, do you?
No, sir, I do not.
That man, by the way, was, you were convicted of raping him?
Yes, sir.
And I'm given to understand that he was in a wheelchair?
Yes, sir, he was.
Okay, and you say that you had sex with him because you guys were the only two left at the party, and there were...
Well, there were no women left, and I first had suggested to him, I said, you know, there's no women here, so there's no more women to pick up on, so it's just you and me, so we might as well...
You claim you're not gay?
No, sir, I'm not gay.
All right, but anyway, what you're really saying here is that you didn't, during the whole period leading up to your trial for rape, you didn't get the media coverage that Kobe Bryant's getting.
No, I did not, and I think Kobe Bryant is a very interesting basketball player, and my children are big fans of his, but let's face it, he's black, and they always get, black folks always get, you know, better, everybody's always not, you know, worried about offending him and everything, so they'll run out there and interview him because they're afraid they'll be called racist if they don't interview him.
So you think that it was a reverse discrimination against you?
Because I was white, yeah.
All right, 1-800-44, I just want to be clear. You raped this guy, but you still want to get publicity, but you didn't get any because you're white and they only give it to black guys.
Yes, sir. I mean, you have to understand, it was 1985, so it was just beginning, but yeah.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Frank, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Mr. Bozell, I think your mind was raped in 85. If you think that Mr. Bryant is only getting attention because he's black, you are so wrong.
Well,
and pathetic.
No, I didn't say that's the only reason, but that's a big, big, big part of it.
No, it's no part of it. It's because who he is. Kobe Bryant's name is mentioned. He automatically grabs attention of everybody, no matter what he does. Black people every day in this country get charged with rape. You don't see them all over the news. It wouldn't make any difference what color he was.
Well, let me ask you, because how come I didn't get the same media coverage?
Because you were nobody, that's why. Who the hell wanted to interview you? I mean, you were nothing. I mean, you could draw no attention.
That may be true as far as you're concerned, but I was living at that time in on campus in Tennessee at this university, and I was very well known.
Probably were ashamed of you is what it was, and they probably wanted to hide the fact that one of their alumni would do such a dastardly deed. I mean, let's get real.
See how you describe it? But Kobe Bryant, you want to give him all kinds of accolades, and he's been charged with the same thing.
Nobody's giving him anything. I mean, he's being charged with a serious crime.
Yeah, Kobe Bryant hasn't been convicted yet, though. You admit you did it.
That's really not, I don't think that's relevant, though, because...
have a problem. A deeper problem than you have some type of... You need some type of confirmation for what you've done or something. I don't know what it is, but I think you need to seek help.
Sir, I don't need any help. I'm simply on the radio.
You definitely need help. Anybody who would call and announce that they raped a guy in a wheelchair and wants attention and was mad because he didn't get attention, you don't think you need help? You definitely need help.
Sir, all I'm asking is a logical question. Why didn't I get coverage...
Because
CNN.
You were nobody. You were nobody. How many times do I got to tell you that? You're nobody now, and you're nobody then.
Frank,
now you got to face the facts that you're nobody.
Okay, I understand that I'm not famous nationally, but I said in the Murfreesboro Tri-County area, my case is more unusual than Kobe's. I raped a man. You're right, I did, and it's bad. It's very bad. I raped a man.
They were ashamed of it. They were probably ashamed of it.
No, but
if
you think objectively about it, I raped a guy in a wheelchair, and the media should have been all over that. That's pretty big news. You don't think that's big news?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no way.
All right, Frank. Frank's point, I think, is pretty well made. I mean, you know, you might be known in the Tri-County area of Murphy, whatever the hell that was, but, you know, Kobe Bryant is not only a national name, he's an international name, and this case has implications positive and negative. And,
but what I'm trying to say is the fact that I raped a guy in a wheelchair, that makes up for the fact that I'm not Kobe G.D. Bryant and all of his black skin.
Well, all right, Frank, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. And the man makes a point. Why would you want to announce to the world that you raped a man in a wheelchair? You understand?
Because I just want reverse discrimination to go away. And
you, all right. I don't. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. 1-800-449-8686. Stephen Bozell is my guest of Corona, California. I'm Phil Henry. Here's Greg. Greg, go ahead.
Yeah, listen, pal. Let it go, okay? You're not an American Idol. Okay, look at Pete Rose. Pete Rose is the man. When he broke the law, look at all the publicity he got. I mean, they even took the man out of the Hall of Fame.
Right, okay, and look at all the...
It has nothing to do with the man's color. You seem to be caught up on something that happened almost 20 years ago. You need to let it go, get on with your life, and quit worrying about racism.
Well, I wouldn't be thinking about it at all had I not turned on the news here in the recent weeks and I seen Kobe Bryant this and Kobe Bryant that. And I said to my wife at the time, I said, look what he's charged with. It's the same thing that happened, except not the same thing.
I think it's kind of different. I mean, it was a woman. It's not a guilt or... Nobody has determined his guilt yet. She was not incapacitated.
I don't know what you mean.
I have a question for you, sir.
Yeah.
When Pete Rose is in the news, did you call up a radio show and complain
Oh, you're talking to Mr. Bozell?
About not getting publicity when Pete Rose is in the news?
Well, you got to understand something. Pete Rose, nobody really was making him sound good. See, Kobe Bryant, they're all kissing his butt, and that's on account of he's black. See, nah. Pete Rose, yeah, you know it's true.
I don't see them kissing Kobe. Well, some of the guys...
I heard you on your show, Mr. Henry, say that Kobe Bryant is getting a lot of breaks from the sports talk hosts. Now, I heard you say that. You can't go back on it now.
All right, you're right. I said that he was getting a break from the sports talk hosts, but I don't hear a lot of people kissing his butt. I mean,
I don't either.
Well, you guys should start reading the newspaper. And Pete Rose, he got ripped up one side and down the next, man. They stuck it in and broke it off and twisted it.
Well, look at Sammy Sosa. What do you think?
Everybody loves him because he's black.
What do you think would have happened to Mark McGwire if Mark McGwire had broken a bat that had cork in the middle of it? Mark McGwire would have been the center of attention all across America.
They'd never even want to interview him on account of he's not of the color.
Oh, baloney. They would have interviewed Mark McGwire. That guy's huge. Thank you, Greg, for your call. 1-800-449-8686. This man admits that he raped a man in a wheelchair, and he wonders why he didn't get the same amount of publicity then as Kobe Bryant's getting now. 1-800-449-8686. Is it racism? Is that why Kobe's getting the attention? Because he's black. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Born again. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I'm talking with Stephen Bozell, who is a construction contractor, Corona, California. 16 years ago, Mr. Bozell, you admit that you sexually assaulted a man in a wheelchair, then tied him to his wheelchair with electrical cord and pushed him down some stairs. Isn't that correct?
Yes, sir.
For which you served, and then thankfully the guy was not killed. You served 4 years?
Yes, sir, I served 4 years, and... 29 months of that I spent in isolation, lockdown isolation at a correctional institute in Murfreesboro, and nobody cared, unlike Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant, the difference is that he's not yet been convicted of anything. He's not...
Okay, so why are they giving him all the attention? I'm the guy that raped a guy in a wheelchair and tied him up with an electrical cord and threw him down some stairs. Now, we were drunk. He said he wanted to get kinky, and I...
You know, when somebody says they want to get kinky, it doesn't mean you're to tie them up in a wheelchair and push them down some stairs.
I understand that, sir.
1-800-449-8686. Veronica, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes. This is what I have to say. Basically, I don't believe that it's reverse racism. The issue is this. Kobe Bryant is famous. Kobe Bryant has money. He's an international, he's a national superstar. People want to know exactly what he's doing. You were in Murfreesboro, a small town. Where it's located on the map, I have no idea. It doesn't take away the fact that you raped the man, you violated, you tied him up with electrical cord and pushed him downstairs. If you're looking for publicity, you need to take out a full front page ad, pay for it yourself, to advise people exactly what you did so they know your face and they know to stay away from you. I'm concerned because you also don't think that you're homosexual.
I'm sorry?
I'm also concerned because you think that you just raped him once. If you were drunk, so you're not a homosexual. You believe
that? No, ma'am. I enjoy normal relations with my wife. We have a wonderful marriage. No, the party was over, and he and I were the only ones that were left. It seemed logical to me. It seemed
logical. What seemed logical?
If he's the only one that's left, he's the only one to have sex with.
So if there were no people there, there were a couple of dogs and a goat, would you violate one of them also?
I think, ma'am, the answer to that's obvious. Of course not. And I think, what are you talking about and everything like that?
It could also be obvious that you wouldn't do that to someone who's not willing. You're saying it's obvious that you wouldn't violate an animal. It's obvious you wouldn't violate a human being who's in a wheelchair, who has no defense.
And then tie him up with electrical cord, push him down some stairs.
Ma'am, I had had 12 shots of Jägermeister, and I have been doing beer bongs. Now, I don't know if you've done a beer bong, but...
Well, you're smoking marijuana through a bong pipe loaded with beer, right?
You bet. Yeah. But you say that's just... Oh, I guess you do that every day, huh?
No, sir, I do not. But I'm telling to the lady because maybe she wasn't familiar. So you did a lot of Jägermeister.
Oh, I know exactly what it is.
So you're doing a lot of Jägermeister. You're doing beer bongs. You're saying this as if we're supposed to forgive you?
No, sir. I've paid my debt to society. I'm just saying. Why not one person from CNN, not one person from the Fox News channel, and Kobe Bryant, all I ever hear about is Kobe Bryant this and Kobe Bryant that. And last night I was in the diner here, I don't know if you're familiar with the Sizzler Steakhouses.
Yeah.
We were there, and in the booth behind us I heard a guy say, so what do you think about the Kobe Bryant case? And I had to go out to the car, and I buried my face in my hands, and I wept.
You're looking for something. You're looking for attention. You're looking for confirmation. Is that what it is?
It's just that everybody likes him and no one likes me.
You know why we don't like you? Because you raped a man in a wheelchair, tied him up with an electric cord, and pushed him downstairs. That's why we don't like you. And you admitted to it.
Yeah, well, why doesn't Kobe Bryant admit to it?
Kobe Bryant hasn't admitted to the crime. Kobe Bryant has yet to be convicted of any crime. You have been convicted. You've served your time. I seriously think you need to seek help.
God, no kidding, sir.
What?
What? Hey, hi, everybody. My name is Steve Bozell. I raped a guy in a wheelchair, tied him up with electrical cord, and pushed him down some stairs. How come no one's interviewing me?
Oh, you think that's funny, huh?
Yeah! I think it's weird. I think it's bizarre. I think it's way out, baby. Way, way out there. Veronica, thank you for your call.
You are certainly welcome. Thank you.
Was she black?
I don't know.
Because I think a lot has to do with the color of the collar. The color of the collar, the color of the comment. That's what I've always heard. I've always heard that. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here, man. Here's Monica on the Phil Henry Show. Monica, is that the call? Is that the line? Monica, go ahead. Hi, ma'am.
This is Monica.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say, I called in right after the first gentleman called to make his comment, and I honestly think that this gentleman on the phone is just hungry for publicity. And, you know, on top of that, he has other issues as well. But, sir, I think I get what you're trying to say about, you know, the reverse race thing here, but Kobe Bryant does not apply. Kobe Bryant
Can I ask you a personal question, ma'am?
Yes.
Are you of the African tribe or?
No,
the African
I'm not.
You mean is she black?
Yes, sir.
No.
You sounded a little like you might.
No.
You might be. I'm sorry.
No, sir, I'm not.
Right.
I'm calling you from Florida, and which is part of the South. And here and down in the South, you know what? If you did something like that, people would be ashamed of you, especially in a college town. And that's why you didn't get any publicity. On top of the fact that you are not famous, you know, and the fact that you are even saying it on radio it just says that you're publicity hungry.
I was famous on campus.
You want publicity.
I was famous on campus. We had one
Who cares?
Who cares? What campus was that? Was it Harvard?
I was very, very big on campus, and they knew me around town. We had done so many funny things.
Sir, you were famous at some podunk university or college. Who cares? Nobody cares about that.
See, that's what I mean. My whole life, no one's cared about me.
Are you running around and doing outrageous things so people will care about you? Raping a guy in a wheelchair? Throwing him down some stairs? Pushing him out into traffic? I mean, is that why you're doing it?
No, I'm not doing it. I ain't done anything like that in 18 years. Just when I see Kobe Bryant, I go, that could have been me, except for the skin. It could have been me.
You know what, pal? I think you're a criminal waiting to happen. I don't think you're done. I think you're going to commit another crime, another serious crime, something that could kill another person, maybe. And I think that that's scary.
Do you think I'd get on TV?
What do you mean, do I think you could get on TV? What do I care whether you get on TV or not? I don't know. Why don't you go commit the crime and find out?
I was the editor of the newspaper on campus. I was the one responsible for stuffing the most folks in the phone booth.
I don't care. Fact of the matter is, it's atrocious what you did.
It's heinous what he did.
Everybody loved me, but now everyone loves Kobe.
Oh, all right, Monica, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Did you hang it up?
Yes, she hung up.
When I suggested we have sex, the man in the wheelchair popped a wheelie and said, giddy up, cowboy.
All right. That's it. Hi. I raped a guy with a champagne bottle. Why aren't I in the news like Kobe? God! Who thinks this stuff up? I have to know. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Time for a walk down memory lane here on the Phil Henry Show, and this letter today comes to us from Matt Ruby. Matt says, Phil, I've been a backstage member for almost a year and love the show. I just have one request. Can you guys please put the entire segment of, quote, These Nukes Are Hot, end quote, from the May 2002 show with Vernon Dozier in the archives? Keep up the good work. Matt Ruby. Matt, we're going to do that for you, and we would like to suggest at this time, this is parental guidance suggested, okay? So if there's any kids in the room, get them out of the room. If there's any people that are sensitive or easily offended, please bug off. And here it is, These Nukes Are Hot from May 2002.
The only pussy on the show is that individual watching the bombs go off.
Oh, how do you figure that?
Well, because any man gets off by watching nuclear bombs go off. Enough, man. You need to be in a padded room.
Why is that? I'm looking
and
at the potential of the American...
Bill Rock, period. You just need to leave him alone. And Bush, he's not doing anything wrong. Do you realize if people start launching nuclear bombs, that it's going to cause a nuclear winter and the world is going to be over? You realize that, right?
That's an old wives' tale.
That's not a wise tale. Where'd you go to school, dumbass?
I went to school with special ops. I can tell you something, Lee. The President of the United States is pussified. If he can't use the nuclear arsenal that we've got at our disposal to wax those towel wrappers now. Now.
You know what? We don't need nuclear bombs to take care of them.
Lee.
And I think you went to high school at is Ignorant Hill.
Hey,
that's where I think you graduated from.
Let me ask you. Hey, nuclear winter is about as true as Santa Claus, okay? Now, Lee, are you familiar with the American nuclear arsenal?
Am I familiar with nuclear weapons?
The nuclear arsenal of the United States of America, because it is very, very impressive. And I've got a video. Look at this.
I've watched a lot of history on it. I can only hear you with that tape going.
Please turn it down, okay?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Lee.
I mean, you've lost your mind. You need to be in a padded room somewhere. All you're going to do is you're going to end up... If we push a button, somebody else is going to push a button, and we're all trying to create peace.
Hold on. What is that noise?
Nothing. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Lee.
And we're all trying to create peace, and all you're doing is trying to create hell. I mean, you're going to cause a nuclear winter, the world's going to be over, and frankly, I'm not ready for the world to be over, Because I'd like to see my kids go to college and have grandkids and have kids, and I'd like to see my grandkids. The people like you is half the reason why we're screwed up.
What is that noise?
Nothing.
Well, Lee, I couldn't agree with you more. I have four children, and I'd like to see those guys all have a happy world. And I think, of course, we can have that. I think this is all a lot of panic mongering on the part of a nut job.
I'm a nut job.
Yeah, you're a nut job. You're a nut job, just like the man said. Look at you. Look at you watching your videotapes of bombs.
Both of you guys should understand what our country can do. Look at this. Look at this. Right. Yeah.
That's a pussy. That's a pussy right there. It's got to watch that kind of crap on tape.
Why is
getting his rocks off?
Hold on.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here.
What? Did you hear what the man said?
I want to ask you, why does that make me a pussy? Because I like watching America's might at work.
Because all you're doing, you're sick in the head. And you're a pussy for sitting there watching that. And you're too scared to get out and go over there and do anything about it. So you talk like a big man behind four walls. And it's
Lee, look at this. Look at that, huh? Huh?
You know what?
We can't see
I guarantee you, my wife, or ex-wife, at five foot, weighs 107 pounds, could break her foot off in your ass with no problem.
You call me a pussy?
Yeah, you're a pussy.
How do you figure that? I was special ops.
What special ops? Were you in the Army?
I was in a private security firm.
He's special ops. The special ops part of him run down. I ain't going to be nasty on the show. I can't handle
that. I understand that. I understand, Lee, and I appreciate your sentiments.
Where you graduated from?
I graduated from Dumbass High, is it?
Yeah, you're stupid, man.
Now you're calling people names.
Well, you're calling President Bush a pussy.
Because he is a pussy. Look at this.
Enough. And that's our walk down memory lane with Vernon Dozier. Check it out, America's Nuclear Arsenal, from May 2002. That was months after the confrontation with Al-Qaeda. 1-800-449-8686, our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com. We got email today. Do we have the Phil mailbag today? Well, we didn't have a chance to look into it. But we, if you got anything you want to send to us, go right ahead. We, of course, are going to be talking the next hour with Brad Rifkin. This guy is he's interesting. This cat had one of these fitness centers for like 23 years, and he's written a book on the things that he's seen, and he has come to the conclusion most people cannot lose weight. They're wasting their time. Well, a guy built a house out in the middle of the El Dorado wilderness in Colorado, was it? It was a 10 by 20 foot prefab home, and someone stole the house. They didn't rob the guy's house. They didn't rob. They just took the whole house. They took the gas tank. They took the propane heat. They took the house. They took everything. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I've been harping on. What are you guys going for this A-frame jazz for, okay? Just build a house. By the way, advice for the future. The only thing to invest in America is real estate. So I feel good about this guy. He's still got the land. Who needs the house anyway? Still got the land. Who needs the house? Especially some prefab job. Dude, I know it looked good in the TV guide. I knew it looked good when a guy came on and said, "A land available now." I know it looked like it might be something you'd be interested in, but forget it. When you come and you find that your entire home has been stolen, the guy that sold you that house ought to give you a refund. Now, whoever sold you that house should give you the money back, because the one thing that ought to be guaranteed, no one can steal it. You know what I'm saying? In other words, they ought to have that written into the contract. Okay, can someone steal this house? No. Well, then put it in the contract. Why would you? Put it in the contract. Put it in that if it's stolen, I get the money back. Why would I put that? Because I had a house stolen. What? I had the A-frame. Oh, you put your money into that? No wonder it got stolen. You deserve to have it stolen. Don't give me that crap. Put it in there. If the house is stolen, we'll make up for it. You guys that are selling those prefab houses, you guys that sell those propane tanks, all that crap, you better be an ironclad contract. If this house is... houses should not be stolen. This is all part of the larger issue, the territorial imperative. Homes, land. You know, the people need houses. I don't know where you guys are living, but out here, They are falling all over each other. They're crawling all over each other like rats in the bilge of a ship trying to get houses out here. There is a what is called a low inventory and a very high demand here in the state of California, and I'm sure in many parts of the country for homes, for a place to live, because the mortgage rates are rock bottom. And if you're, by the way, if you're not refinancing your house, you're out of your mind. You need a doctor. You need to be put in a soft room if you ain't refinancing that house. I ain't kidding you. Do you realize my wife got, what did we get? We got like 5 3/4 or something? Five. And then I talked to a guy, said, big deal, I got 5 1/4. I said, you dirty, yep. Now they're starting to creep up, so, but in any event, homes, houses, places to live. This is the big thing, and there's nothing better to invest in. You take that stock market and park it. Buy yourself a nice chunk of land. Put a nice little log cabin on it. You can come out with the, you know, suspenders and chop some wood in the morning. Just sniff that clean, fresh mountain air, wherever the hell it is you live. Maybe you live in the city. And a man's home is his castle. I don't care what it, except condos. Don't do that. Don't go the condo road. Don't even go there. Maybe a townhouse tops, but buy yourself a house, and but don't buy something that somebody can take off on, take off with in the bed, you know, the flatbed of a truck. Nice try. 1-800-449-8686 with advice for living. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
I want to bring on the author of a controversial new book called You Gotta See It to Believe It, Brad Rifkin. Brad was the owner of a fitness a gym in Fort Lauderdale, Florida for 23 years called Florida Fitness. And Brad, your book is getting a lot of attention and a lot of notoriety around the country, and we welcome you to the program.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Phil.
What is the book about? And I understand you make a very... a rather controversial point right at the beginning, right?
The fact is, Phil, and our book tries to point it out, that people who own gyms would rather have a few serious people who work out than people who do not. And people today, most people today, cannot get fit. It is impossible for them. There's a very few people who are able to work out seriously, and the rest are not able to do it. And I've seen this for 23 years. And so what I wanted to do with my book is put into the book anecdotes and pictures that I've taken and videotape that I've taken of people trying to get fit in our gym, people trying to work out in our gym, and give people who read the book so a good time laughing and looking at these people as they try, as they try and fail to get fit.
Well, my understanding is you have pictures of fat people working out, and you have stories of different things.
That's correct, yeah. I owned a gym in Fort Lauderdale, Florida for 23 years. We had Nautilus equipment. We had free weights. And in 23 years, I collected a lot for stories. I watched a lot of these, the fat ones come in, and they want to work out. And you know right away they're not going to make it. They come in for a few weeks. They give you a year's membership, and then they're gone. And then you watch them, and we had... the ability...
You mentioned you had two-way mirrors.
We did have two-way mirrors, yeah.
Why did you have... why was that?
For a couple of reasons, Phil. We had security issues, but also for us, we could relax at lunch and go into another room and have lunch and look in the two-way mirrors.
And you would be laughing at the people as they worked out?
You have to understand, it's amusing to see some big tub who thinks they're going to look like Marilyn Monroe in 3 weeks, and you know they're never going to do it, because 95% of the people who work out in America stay fat and will always be fat, and there's nothing you can do about it, and that's true with our place. So,
but I mean, you would take lunch breaks and go behind the two-way mirror and watch these people.
That is correct. And that's where a lot of the funny stories come from. You look at one gal, we have a story in there about one woman who her leotard ripped right up the back, and other people are laughing. She overextended, and there's a photograph.
Well, I'm looking at this on page, this is in page 23?
That's correct.
Now, that's you in the back laughing?
That's me pointing and laughing, yeah, because you got to understand, here's this big, large woman who comes in, and she thinks she's going to be Jane Fonda, and she bends over in an aerobics class, which also, you know, we had two-way mirrors and cameras, and we had a lot of fun. For 23 years, we had a lot of fun, and this is just our opportunity to share it with people.
The book is called You Gotta See It to Believe It. Brad Rifkin, the former owner of a gym in South Florida, is on the line. You took photographs of people, and you you videotaped people as well as wrote these stories. Our number, by the way, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Now, I see that you black out the faces, so you didn't need to get permission for the photographs?
No, no. Nor for the videotapes, because we black those out as well. We pixelate what's called pixelate in the video business. But I've got videotape of these women. One of the things that we used to do is videotape the women who would gather around the water cooler like they were really doing hard work. And
That's the chapter called The Watering Hole, right?
That's called The Watering Hole, right. Because it reminded me of a bunch of fat... you know, buffalo or big fat elephants or something watering, and they're all in the tights, and they all got in those days a lot of leg warmers and that kind of thing, and you know, they're dressing, in other words, like they're Jane Fonda, and they look like they're Fatty Arbuckle, you know, Tubby McGee, and that was a lot of fun.
All right, I got to get into a question here. You say you had two-way mirrors.
That's correct.
Isn't that an invasion of privacy?
No, sir.
I mean, you had a two-way mirror so you could sit and have lunch and look at the people work out and laugh?
Yes, sir. That, I mean, first of all, it was for security. We wanted to make sure that nobody was, you know, that everybody was safe and no one was going to steal equipment or anything. But then, yes, the secondary thing is we would relax and look at a lot of these fat people. You know, it was very funny. It was a lot of fun for us.
You mentioned you had two-way mirrors in the bathrooms, right?
That was for security reasons only. We had two-way mirrors in the women's latrine for security reasons, and the reason why it basically is because we had a lot of women who had gotten their purses stolen and that kind of thing.
But the point that I'm trying to make here is somebody is going to complain that you have two-way mirrors staring at them while they're undressing, staring at them while they're working out and laughing at them.
No, hold on for a minute, because that's a private club, so we are entitled to do what we want. It's a private club.
But you're videotaping people without their knowledge?
They are not identified. And because it's a private club, I can do anything that I want. That's the difference between a private club and a public club. I get to do anything that I want, whereas in a private club, in a private club, I can do anything I want. In a public club, you can't.
So you videotape people as they were working out. You, and the book is humorous.
Yes.
So it's funny watching people try to work out, try to lose weight, and fail.
It is, and
isn't that kind of gloating on somebody's failure?
No, sir. Because most people are going to fail anyway. 99% of these people that try to work out and lose weight are fat freaks. You know, I'm sorry, but it's just they're not going to lose any weight. And the other thing is,
aren't you afraid of angering these people so that they don't come into your club anymore?
I gotta tell you, I hope that they don't, because if somebody walks in and they see this tub of lard standing at the water cooler, they're going to turn right around and go back out, because this book. This book will really help the overweight people of America realize they're fooling themselves, and in the process, get them out of the gyms and get the real workout people in. And I keep all of the videotapes locked in my cellar at home. Nobody but me sees them. What we are going to do is we edit them.
So you're videotaping people working out. Are you videotaping the woman's locker room?
No, sir, I'm not.
Okay, but because you got a two-way mirror in there, and in your book you mentioned that you had a bachelor party one night at your workout center, where everybody was on the other side of the two-way mirror watching women working out.
Yeah, and that was just a lot of fun. That was for my brother, Sid, who was getting married, and we had a ball watching these fat women on the exercycles. I have a whole chapter on the exercycles, how ridiculous these women look. I got a chapter on the you know, I owned a club for 23 years. I don't know what half of this crap's called. It's the treadmill. And they look like, they're going to have a cardiac arrest on that. And then there's a chapter on how funny it is to look at people trying to pump weight that they cannot possibly lift, and so on and so forth. So,
There's a photo here, and there's an ambulance in the photo. Is this man had a heart attack, right?
That is correct. He had a heart attack.
Well, you don't think the death of a man's funny, do you?
No, sir, I do not. No, sir, I do not.
Then why do you have this photo in there?
Because the photograph was funny. If you look, and that's page what?
That's page 38.
That is, if you look, his tongue's hanging out, and I thought it was a humorous photograph. He died in our sauna. But again, that's not my problem. He's a fat tub who thought he was going to lose weight by sitting in a sauna. And to me, that's what I think is very funny. Also, the Monday morning aerobics class was hysterical. There were women who would gather on a water cooler. We told you about the watering hole. Then to see these gals walk out to their cars and, change out of their sneakers into something else, and they couldn't bend over because the tub, the fat would just pour over the belt. It's great. It's great stuff, and I hope people read it. And my favorite, by the way, is when one of these fat hogs is hustling on the treadmill. She slipped and she got flown into the wall. And that was a picture that we had.
It sounds like you may be having some fun at the expense of other people.
Well, Mr. Henry, that's what comedy is. It's
Hold on. I mean, it may be what comedy is, but it sounds like there's people who really want to lose weight. They're failing at it, and you're laughing at them.
Because
why?
Because they're not going to lose weight because they're fat tubs of guts, and they paid their money, and then
you go around the other side. Boy, you go around the other side, sit down behind a two-way mirror, and watch and laugh as they struggle on a treadmill.
Yes, sir. I mean,
why not go out and train them? Why not go out?
Oh, that personal training crap is total. That is thievery. This personal training thing is thievery. If you look on page 67, we got a trampoline photo. Now, that lady that you're looking at, she did one bounce, and she literally ripped four of the springs because she was a fat tub of lard. And did I ask her to pay for that? No. Did I ask her to replace the springs? No. I got a 300-pound woman who broke a $1,500 trampoline.
But you think that's funny, don't you?
Well, when you think about it, yeah, it's funny.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. The book is called You've Got to See It to Believe It, 23 Years in the Fitness Business. Brad Rifkin has written a book about the funny things that he's seen in his gym. He's seen fat women struggling on the treadmill. He has a photograph of a man who'd had a heart attack in one of his saunas with his tongue hanging out. He has pictures of women at the water cooler, which he calls the watering hole, as if they're buffalo or elephant. He has a story about a woman that went right through a trampoline, 300 pounds. He has videotapes of people that he's selling. He had two-way mirrors, and he tells of a story where he had a bachelor party for his brother, and the entertainment for the night was they gathered behind one of the two-way mirrors and watched women in an aerobics class, fat women, and laughed. The premise of the book is this, and I don't know whether you guys at home agree. It's impossible. Most people will never lose weight. They're always going to be fat, and watching them in workout centers is funny. To me, publishing the photograph of a man who's dead from a heart attack is not funny. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Brad Rifkin is a former fitness gym owner who has written a book called You Gotta See It to Believe It, 23 years in the fitness business, and you've got pictures and stories of how ridiculous people look when they're working out. And it's if to just make fun of people that are trying to lose weight.
Well, if I could interrupt, Mr. Henry, it's not. It's a book that if half of these fat slobs could see them, and I don't, you know.
Well, when you use the word slob and tub of lard. You know what I'm saying?
Well, if they could see themselves, though, sir, is the point. They would not throw their money away on a gym. They would not come into the gym. And then I wouldn't have these fat tubs hanging there at the door so that when somebody comes in who's cut and she might be a very attractive woman, she doesn't want to work there or work out there because she's looking at these housewives with the big, big ass. I mean, I'm sorry, but the book that I wrote, is a funny book, and I don't want anybody to get the idea that it's not funny. It's very funny,
but it's funny making fun of these people, right?
It's not really. You need to make fun of these people because they're not going to lose weight. They're not going to lose any weight. They come into the gym. They're there for 2 months. They're big fat tub of, and then they.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. If you're fat and you're working out, this guy, Mr. Rifkin, says, give it up. You probably won't. Susan, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, thanks.
Yeah.
I just would like to say that going past shock and repulsion, I realized that not very many people would agree that what you're describing is funny. And that just narrows that field down to a level of intelligence that is so low.
What is that? Have you read the book, ma'am?
I just listened to you describe it, and frankly, I'm not even going to look at it for free because that it's not funny. It's mean. It's mean, and you're making money at the expense of other people.
That's kind of my feeling.
No, it's 23 years of some of the funniest stuff you ever saw in your life. You look at some fat, ass woman. She's on a treadmill, right?
Whose heart is breaking, which is why she's on the treadmill.
Her heart's breaking?
Yeah. Do you think that she's in there trying to lose weight because she wants to be funny?
Well, but see, here's the thing. If she would just accept the fact that she's always going to be fat, she's never going to look good. If she would accept that, she would find another fat man who would accept her, as opposed to trying to pretend like she's, the second coming of Tyra Banks.
But you don't explain to people why it is they can't lose weight. Why? Why? Is that your opinion or is that a fact?
You know why they can't lose weight, Susan? I can tell you. They can't stay away from cheesecake. That's why. And all of the coming into my gym, which they spend maybe 4 weeks, then they leave, and then they go back home and they do 3 half gallons of ice cream, cheesecake.
Well, listen, the only person that I can imagine that would think what you're describing is funny is the same kind of person that would spy on people through a two-way mirror. Do you have a sign up saying this facility for your security has a two-way mirror, or are you just doing this secretly?
We don't have to because it's a private
Because it's a
deal.
Private thing, and
right.
You have that type of nature in you.
I don't understand what this lady is.
Well, sir, we think that maybe there's a little voyeur going on. The fact that you're laughing at people...
it's fun. You got to see the book. The picture that you said, Mr. Dan, we got a guy that died of a heart attack. That, I realize, is bad. But if you look at his face, the tongue's hanging out.
You got a picture of a man who's dead in your gym?
Yeah.
How many people have you seen dead?
Oh, my God. That's the point. That's why I wrote this book. You see these fat tubs of guts coming in. We lost 2 a month for a while. 2 a month.
Then tell them the truth. If you want to make a difference, tell the truth. What you really want to do is make a profit. You've made that very clear.
24 people a year died at your gym?
Yes. You know why? Because they were a tub of lard that thought that they were a Rafer Johnson.
And they were not properly trained by the responsible people working at the gym.
Well, who's supposed to do that?
You would say, let's start out slow. Let's do these things. But no, you take pictures of people killing themselves.
Do you think my opinion is going to stop a cheesecake? Who do you think's got a stronger... My opinion or the cheesecake? What do you think is stronger? I'm going to lose.
Well, in my life at this point, the cheesecake.
That's right.
And I don't like cheesecake.
So you're going to be... How much do you weigh?
I weigh...
Wait. I bet you I can guess, because I can tell by the fat pushing on your vocal cords.
That is just great. I happen to be a really strong woman, and no, I don't have that problem.
You're 200?
I happen to be a diabetic, and so I do
Okay, I knew that you had some kind of fat.
All right. Thank you very much.
Well, then why are you wheezing?
She's not wheezing. 1-800-449-8686. Monica, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I just want to tell him that he's just a total butt. He's really rude. I'm not fat. I weigh 140. I'm 5'9". And I think that women that come into these gyms that are bigger than I am.
So I'm not allowed to laugh. I'm not allowed to laugh?
I don't care if you laugh, but I think it's rude that you're making a butt of people that you're laughing at.
It's interesting anecdotes. The story about the lady that broke the trampoline. The story about the lady that went right into the wall off the treadmill. We've got photographs.
That's not right. That's rude.
I got a photograph of a woman on one of the exercycles, and she is like pouring sweat with a tongue hanging out like she's a hound dog.
You know, I don't care. I think what's more important is that these bigger women, I'm not going to call them fat because a lot of bigger women are beautiful. And they're going in because they want to feel better about themselves.
Well, a lot of bigger women are beautiful.
And make themselves look better to themselves and to their husbands.
Monica, at 5'9", 140, you classify as full figured. So, you know, hate to break the news.
Well, that's totally fine. You know, I have plenty of men knocking down on my door.
Look, you know something, Monica? A heifer with a barbell stuck on her neck. Check it out on page 16.
I will not read the book. I will not look at your book.
Okay, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. The book is called You Gotta See It to Believe It. Funny Pictures and Stories of Fat People in Gyms. Over 23 years. Brad Rifkin. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Grand Theft Auto.
+1 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
From yesterday's show, Bob Green, a grocer from Buena Park, California, says that he's sick and tired of people bringing in Tupperware meals from home to heat up in the microwave. He says it smells like goat, and it's tempting to him. It makes him fatter, and they're just wasting time. He doesn't want any of that. He calls it a hot lunch, and he calls it a hot European lunch. And he was upset with that. Well, here's what one caller said.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Excuse me, but you know, you have this problem with people in microwaves.
No, I do not, ma'am.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't
have a problem. How do you eat your food? Do you eat all bologna sandwiches and salads 24/7?
I eat hot food at dinner and lunch and breakfast, and I eat a cold lunch, which is the way Americans do it.
Who's American? Who's American?
Let me tell you what, my family...
I'm American. My family's been here for 189 years.
Well, it's not as long as my family.
And we all ate bologna sandwiches.
You eat bologna sandwiches, yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's American.
We ain't ate them. We don't eat them.
We eat real
food, okay?
Oh, wait a second. What do you call real food?
Something
like
good for you, not a damn little piece of meat and two pieces of bread.
So there you go. At lunch, you haul in 3 grocery bags of slop that I got to cook for you, and then you waddle down to the checkout stand? No.
Oh, well, why not? You know, I bet when corporate hears this phone call, you may not have a job tomorrow.
Ma'am, I happen to be one of the...
You happen to be one of them, huh?
I happen to be one of them.
No, that's what you started to say.
Let me tell you something, ma'am. I got these hopheads who call themselves diabetics coming into my
place. Yeah, well, I have a daughter-in-law that's a diabetic, and I know you don't play around with people that are like that.
Yeah, well, you know something, lady? You know what? I don't believe you.
Oh, you don't believe me? How about you meet me somewhere and I'll prove it to you?
What are you going to do? I'm a guy.
No, I didn't say what was I going to do.
Well, you're going to bring your husband? Is that it?
I don't need a husband.
Wait a second. Wait a
minute. Ladies and gentlemen.
Shirley, you're an American. You're a half-breed of some kind. Every American eats
bologna. Oh, I'm a half-breed?
Yeah, you're a half-breed.
I'll show you half-breed.
Yeah, I bet you
will. I'll show you half-breed.
Thanks for calling, Miss Whirlpool Appliance.
Oh, you wish, honey.
You know something? I have an employee that I caught shooting up some of this stuff. And he says, I'm a diabetic. How do I know it's not smack?
You have employee applications? Why don't you try looking on them?
What's an employee? What do you mean?
Don't half the applications say, do you have medical problems?
Yes, they might. I don't
why don't
look
you try
those.
Looking at them?
I don't look at those. Why should I look at those?
Oh, you just because call everybody out of the blue, and if they say they're diabetic, you don't believe them,
because
right?
you find out if they're diabetic or not. You're not going to be just firing them because they're a hophead.
That is a middle management problem. That's not mine. And if somebody says I need to go to the bathroom,
remember,
they shoot up.
Remember, you're part up there with corporate.
You know,
remember?
So your daughter's a diabetic. Prove it.
Oh, I can prove it.
How do you prove it?
I can prove it. I can bring her back to your house with her needles. How
oh,
would
yeah.
you like that?
So she can shoot up there at my
That's
house?
That's right. So she can shoot up all her insulin right in front of you. Would you like that?
You know, man.
Would that
you,
make you feel good?
You and your
would that make you think twice
you,
about the lady's food you threw away?
What? You and your half-breed husband and your horse.
Oh, you know what? I ain't even married.
Nice
so what the hell
sandwich.
You got to say about that?
Well, I should have known that. You got a kid.
Huh.
You're not married. I should have
huh.
known that. Yeah. She's
huh.
she's got a kid, but she ain't married.
Hold on.
Next time you have hillbilly trash, call this show.
Now you're talking to her half-breed daughter. I bet you're a fat, donut-ass-eating mother.
Hey.
Don't give a s***.
Carol, whoa, 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 whoa. Did we get the 7 second on her?
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
There it is. Bob Green from yesterday's show talking about those diabetic people. At least they claim they're diabetic. How does he know they're not in the bathroom shooting horse? You know, they come in, you know, you diabetic folks, you're coming in with your needles and your little, you know, your little bottles of liquid. We don't, how do we know you're not doing it up between your toes? Smack, horse, H. You know? You could, that's actually, if you're a junkie, try that. I'm diabetic. Oh, okay, well, come on in. Just put it on your application. You know, and guy comes in and he's just, I gotta take my break, take my insulin shot. 4 hours later, the dude comes back. It's just, yeah, you know, it's a little bit of drool here. So are you feeling better now? I was in a coma. Foam at the side of his mouth. There he is, Robert Green on the Phil Henry Show. And you can hear great bits like that by going to www.philhenryshow.com. That's www.philhenryshow.com. That is our website, and the way you hear that bit and other bits like it, you get a backstage pass. Now, how much is that? The minute I say that it's a subscription site, people run like scared children. It's not a big thing. It's only $6.95 a month. $6.95 a month. You spend that much on cigarettes. You spend that much on beer. Well, I guarantee, you know, a monthly subscription to the Phil Henry website will give you more laughs than a couple of beers. Seriously. Maybe not a six-pack, but at least two. And, you know, so you don't buy any cigarettes. So go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com, and get the backstage pass. Our souvenir shop is there, as well as the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD for the year 2002. And all the money that goes to the sale of our CD goes to, I should say, my friend's place, a resource center for homeless runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And it's a wonderful, wonderful effort by them guys. You know, when we come out with our 2003, we'll do a few personal appearances. We'll get out, get to know the people. I wanted to go next week to Colorado. What do you think the chances of that are? I wanted to go to Colorado next week to see the whole Kobe thing, the appearance, the hearing. But what am I going to do? You think I'm going to get an interview with a guy? There's no way I'll get it. There's no way. So there's no point of me being there. Let all the other guys, let all the other chumps hustle on in there next week. There's going to be like 500 media or something. Doing what? What are you guys going to do? You think you're not going to get any interview with a guy. You're going to get your camera angle on the guy's face. I mean, you're going to get just as much, you know, with a pool reporter. Are you going to go around and interview the people in the town? Bug all of them? Did you know her? What's her name? Maybe find her, interview her, is that it? You know what, on second thought, we need to go. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Michigan defensive back Marlon Jackson, the preseason Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, has been charged with felonious assault and aggravated assault, a prosecutor said. A warrant was filed Thursday afternoon in Washtenaw County Court, First Assistant Prosecutor Conrad Siller said. An arraignment has not been scheduled. If convicted of the felony, the 20-year-old Jackson could face up to 4 years in prison and a $2,000 fine. Said Jackson, life is just too damn good, going to college, having everything paid for, and also having an athletic scholarship. I needed to go out and wave a gun in someone's face to screw things up. Jackson, who comes from the typical ad nauseum ghetto background with the single mother and the didn't-have-a-chance background, said to police, ah, kiss it, as they led him away. Jackson, whose life has just been too darn good, decided to go pick up a gun and go out and beat someone up with it. At least that's what police allege. We wouldn't want to accuse a man before he's convicted of the crime, would we? The allegations against Marlon Jackson are serious, Coach Lloyd Carr said, stifling a laugh through a spokesman. The facts will speak to the truth of the charges and to the resolution that will be determined, and then he fell asleep. The junior from Sharon, Pennsylvania, had 98 tackles and 6 interceptions in his first 2 years with the Wolverines, and who cares? The Jim Thorpe Association recently named Jackson as a leading candidate for the Jim Thorpe Award for the second straight season. The award is presented annually to the nation's outstanding defensive back. Let me ask a question. Why is Jim Thorpe's name on that award? Jim Thorpe was a man who achieved far more than these clowns do now. Jim Thorpe was a Native American. You imagine the hard times that guy had coming up? They didn't have no Olympic training facility. They didn't have big-time scholarships. They didn't have diddly squat, man. This guy, Thorpe, he comes walking on campus in his bare feet. Went out, kicked ass in the Olympics, played college football, kicked ass at that. Then he kicked ass in pro football. Now, he was a great football player. But he was beyond a great football player. He was an example of a great man. He wasn't no drug addict. He wasn't waving guns around in people's faces. He wasn't some slob running around and raping women. He was an example of a man who took the worst that this country has to hand out to its Native Americans and tried to turn it into something decent. Why does some piece of garbage like this Marlon Jackson, which I know he's innocent until proven guilty, but guess what? I don't like him anyway. What do you think of that? Okay? How come he gets an award called the Jim Thorpe Award? Who are you people in college football that you get to put this guy's name on an award? Jesus, you know, the arrogance of these people just never ends. Winners are judged on their performance on the field, athletic ability, and character. Boy, you catch with that Jim Thorpe Award, man. What judges of character you are, you break all records on that one. Man. I bet you you'd be giving out the Nobel Peace Prize to Charles Manson if the guy wasn't inside.
Hi, we're the people who give out the Jim Thorpe Award.
Great. Here's Mr. Charles Manson. He's just out of a Atascadero mental psychotic criminal facility.
Okay.
Why don't you just give him the Jim Thorpe Award, okay?
I'm the devil, and the devil shaves his head.
Remember that in Helter Skelter? That was, oh boy. And the 2003 Jim Thorpe Award goes to Ted Bundy. Ted, come on up. You've been doing such great work. Seriously, where do you get off, you people? And the arrogance doesn't end. It just doesn't end. These people think they're entitled to just, they can appropriate names, they can appropriate titles, they can call their players great people, humanitarians. They've even got the fans believing it. One of the great things that that's been happening in recent days is we got these people calling the show and they say things like this.
Well, there's a lot of great guys in pro football, a lot of wonderful people.
Like who? Name one.
Well, Steve Young.
Okay, what'd he do?
Well, he got a law degree.
Well, so what? So there's a million other guys got a law degree. I'm supposed to kiss his ass? He got a law degree? Yeah, they got everybody buying the whole lock, stock, and barrel, a big propaganda pitch. They're just wonderful young men. There's a handful, of course, but they're all wonderful young men. They had a shutdown. See, in my opinion, you convict one guy of a crime in a college football program, I'd shut the whole program down. Just one guy, that's all it would take for me. Just one. Well, what about my son? You know what? I'm sorry about your son. He's a law-abiding kid. Tell him to get the hell out of here and go to another school, okay? I got to clean this crap can up first. Your son a good kid? Yeah. Play football someplace else. And they call it the Jim Thorpe Award. And the story here out of the Lansing State Journal, whatever the hell that is the story is blah, 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 blah about this conviction. Then they go on and tell you how just what a great ball player this slob's going to be when he finally gets to the pros and he beats this rap because he's got some, whatever. Lawrence Phillips was another guy. You remember that guy? They gave that guy second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chances. He played for the University of Nebraska. He threw some woman down some stairs. He was nothing but bad. And even the Rams gave him a shot. After this guy got out of jail, they gave him a shot. Hey, after all, let's give our ex-cons a shot, huh? Yeah, huh? And he was a bum then, too. See, the arrogance doesn't end. The assumption of entitlement just doesn't end. And I will say it today. It's another day, so Phil's going to say his helpful, friendly reminder. Here it is. You guys are being taken for chumps. That's today's friendly reminder here from Sheriff John. You're a bunch of suckers, and you're being conned, and you're believing the pitch from the sports propaganda ministry and the legions of their sycophants in sports talk radio. The guys that polish all those shoes, the cats that are too busy polishing Phil Jackson's shoes and Kobe's shoes and all these other guys' shoes to actually see what the hell is going on. All right, our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Don't forget to go see Geely this weekend. You know, the Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez flick. Because it's just phenomenal, and it's a relatable and plausible plot about a hitman who falls for a lesbian hit woman, and then he turns her from being an evil lesbian into a normal straight woman with a big ass. Yes, it's all there on your widescreen, and boy, do they need the widescreen. Geely, spelled G-I-G-L-I, another Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez vanity project. Jesus, what happened to you, Affleck? Why don't you go back to the really cool indie flicks that you did, which I'm not saying I don't want you to make any money, but get off the kick with this chick, man. She's turning you into a pop star, which ain't the name. Oh, by the way, speaking of that, you people in Canada got all the class in the world. You know that kid, who's the kid, Justin Timberlake? All right, you like his music, you don't like his music, but the fact is he went up for that SARS concert. They had a big concert in Toronto for the SARS, you know, for the disease, because they wanted to get the business back to Toronto. And the kid gets up there, he's a Yankee, gets up to sing, and they throw bottles at him. You know, if you don't like his music, that's one thing. The kid went up there to try to get business back to your rotten town. And let me tell you something else, because I've been around rock and roll for over 30 years. So don't start talking to me about rock and roll or rock or alternative or anything else. I've been in the business and around the business for 30 years. There's no difference at all between pop and rock and alternative. It all comes churning out of the same big ass. It's the same corporation making the same music. You people tossing your bottles. What do you want to hear, Rush, one more time? You want to hear some of that alternative Canadian crap like, Crash Test Dummies? Where they been? The hell do you think you're doing? Kid goes up there to try to get some business back to your stupid city, and they're throwing bottles at him. Good riddance to bad rubbish. If I never see Toronto again, it'll be too soon. What do you think of that? And we got an affiliate in Toronto. I'm only kidding. By the way, we'll be there on a personal appearance in a couple of weeks, selling our CD. Hope you can see us there. All right, in other sporting news, Miss Elizabeth is dead. Did you hear that one? You didn't hear that one, did you? Miss Elizabeth is croaked. You remember her? She was gorgeous. But, you know, this is an example. It's too bad she's dead because there's a picture of her here at the age of 42, and then there's a picture of her here at, like, 30. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Today's woman gets better looking the older she gets. There's a shot of her at 42. She looks fantastic. And at one at 32, she looks kind of, you know, a little road hard and put up wet. Anyway, the story is ex-wrestling star Miss Elizabeth dies. Elizabeth A. Hewlett, a wrestling personality who was known to fans as Miss Elizabeth, died Thursday. She was 42. She died in Cobb County, which is a suburb of Atlanta, and the Cobb County authorities planned an autopsy to determine the cause. Emergency personnel responding to a 911 call found Hewlett at the home of former pro wrestler Lawrence Fole, also known as Lex Luger. Hewlett had been living with Fole. Fole was taken into custody on unrelated drug charges and was released on bond early Friday. Hewlett was married to former wrestler Randy the Macho Man Savage and was his manager before they divorced in 1992. She and Savage became popular personalities in the World Wrestling Federation, which they entered in 1985. Hewlett also had managed pro wrestler Hulk Hogan and Foal. Last month, police responded to a domestic violence call at Foal's house and arrested him. Foal was accused of punching Hewlett in the face and was charged with battery. Elizabeth Hewlett entered the world of professional wrestling as the manager of her then-husband, Randy the Macho Man Savage. They entered the world... I already read this. She quickly guided Savage to the Intercontinental Blah 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 Championship. In 88, Savage won the WWF. After their divorce, she retired from the sport but returned in 95. Miss Elizabeth, dead at the age of 107. Now, she was 42, and I don't mean to be disrespectful. She looks fantastic, when she was alive at 42. At 43, she ain't going to look too good. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.